Congratulations, you've made an excellent life choice today. You're displaying strong character and good taste by tuning into this infotainment web zone. We're poorly informed and highly opinionated. This is Idiots Discuss the Universe.
Speaking of bullshit, Spenny.
Oh yeah.
Guess what came for the mail? Came in the mail for me today.
A tax return?
No, not a tax return. But a special offer from AARP.
Oh! I finally made it.
I have been offered a valued membership for $16 a year.
Woo!
Yeah.
Hey, you know, it's, Social Security will pay for that.
Yeah, a 12-month membership.
What do you get?
I can put my spouse on it or a household member, so I can
sign
up my sister for AARP.
Card-holding member.
I would get AARP magazine. I would get the AARP bulletin newsletter.
Yes.
I would get access to exclusive products. Medicare supplement health insurance, dental coverage, and eye care pharmacy.
Yeah, that's actually pretty cool.
Games.
Oh, games.
To keep my mind sharp.
Like a giant phone book full of Sudoku.
I think they put a crossword puzzle in the magazine, probably.
Yeah.
Financial tools, health tips, and more
on
AARP.org. So I can just go to the website if I pay
that's
my
$16. Cool. Now, the one tangible, actually cool thing sounded like the benefits. You get access to cheaper health benefits or
Medicare supplemental health insurance. So like,
you have to be on Medicare to get it.
Right, you're on Medicare, and it's like an insurance that covers what Medicare doesn't cover.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least that's something. That was the one thing that
stood
out. Yeah,
discounts on hotels, car rentals, and more.
Cool.
Because you're old.
Yeah.
It's your official I'm old card, and you get, and the world starts just becoming cheaper.
So you get it at 48 now, huh?
Yeah, I guess 49.
49. But you're 49 now.
49.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, 50 next year, Spenny.
50.
That's fucking crazy.
Distinguished. Yeah, so they smelled the 50 on you.
50 is something different, dude. That's something different.
That is something different. Mm-hmm. Half a century.
Even 40 seems like a different. It's a hallmark. It's a big one.
Yeah, 50's huge.
Yeah, it's like the it's like 21.
Yeah,
I mean, in a way.
No, after 21. After 21, it's like 30, 40, 50. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but nobody really cares about 40.
No, you know? Or 30, really.
30 kind of.
That's
becoming more of a thing just because people don't want to grow up and have more parties,
you know?
So like 30's kind of like, especially for folks that are like having a hard time like growing up, that becomes like a thing. And then they're like, okay, now I'm 30 and now
I'm 30 now.
You know, yeah, it's all grown up now.
Right.
So it's kind of becoming more of a thing, but 40, no one gives a fuck unless, Your life's completely off track. And then they're like, you're going to be 40.
Hey.
Loser.
Hey.
You know?
People will give a fuck. Like, they'll accept you throwing a big party for yourself for your 40th birthday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They won't accept the big party for 42 or 39.
No.
But they'll be like, oh, it's the big 40.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'll come to your big soiree.
Yes.
But
yes.
That's about it. Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I had a party or what for 40. I don't think so. I don't think I did. I don't remember where I was or what I was doing at 40.
Yeah. The older I get for my birthdays, I want to just go off by myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And just be like, this was the anniversary of the day I was, birthed, and just like meditate.
I don't know. The older I get, the more I like to take advantage of the day that people have to be nice to me. You know, just go around and make that's people fair. Be nice to me.
Yeah.
You know, that's okay.
You can get a t-shirt that says it's my birthday.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A you little know, sign.
Yeah, make someone take you to lunch or something. It's yeah. fine. Yeah. You know, but don't make a big deal of it. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I just think that, like, you know, grown men should kind of, like, grown people should just kind of, like, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe for, like, a 50 or an 80th or, like, my grandma's 80th birthday party was really fun.
Sure.
Like, that was cool.
I mean, that's an accomplishment. Once you get up into the 80s and 90s, it's, like, it's an accomplishment.
It's an accomplishment. Yeah. Yeah. So that's fine. And I think, like, 50, I should probably do something,
yeah.
you know, for 50.
You should.
I don't know what.
You should you should rent like a beach house or something.
Yeah. I probably have to do something close by so people will show up if I have a party.
Yeah.
If I did a beach house, like, yeah, that would be fun. Like, just get like 3 or 4 people that you really like and all go do the beach house. That's hard to get people to be able to leave town and everything.
Yeah.
That's a thing. You know,
that's
but like,
coordination,
you know, have everybody meet at a bar or something, then that's always something that you can do.
Hopefully, this time next year. Those
shit will be open.
Yeah.
It will be.
It will be.
Either way.
Yeah.
It's going to be open.
It's going to be open. That's right.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah. It is something to look forward to. Lots to look forward to. Mm-hmm. 50. 50s mm-hmm. are going to be just fantastic.
Yeah. I think they'll be pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, 50. It's distinguished.
Fuck.
It's good. I think it's still...
It's fucking crazy.
It's just weird how the time goes on and whatever, if it's technology or if it's just the way that our society is progressing, but these numbers stop, they don't sound as old anymore. Maybe it's because I'm getting older.
There you go.
Yeah.
There it is.
50 doesn't sound too far away for me.
See, I don't know. It's sounding pretty old. 50's sounding pretty old to me.
I mean, 50 is officially... old.
I mean, 49 sounds
49
old.
Is, I mean, yeah.
I think about, like, where my parents were when they were 49, and, like, I was done with college and my mom was 49.
Yeah, but the, you know, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if I do that, then, yeah. I think if any of us do that, compare... Where our parents were at, like, just, oh, they owned a house.
No, not in that way. But, like, how I viewed them age-wise when I was that age. I was getting ready to move to Portland, and I was out of school. I was kind of starting my life. And, like, my parents were, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, in my mind at that point, they're like, oh, well, you know. You had a good run.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, you know, you might have a few good ones left, you know?
You'll be able to hang out and, like, kind of see what happens. But
yeah.
It's kind of, you know.
It's kind of done.
It's settled down for you now.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, and I'm there now in that sense. And, like, it's kind of settled down for me, you know. And I do notice myself, like, for the first time, like, being at peace with shit that, like, you always think that you're going to do certain things or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Or, mm-hmm. like, you play in your mind, well, that probably is not going to, something I'm not going to do, you know? And then mm-hmm. you're okay with it.
Right.
You know, and before you didn't even, like, think about it.
Right.
Or whatever.
Or
it's weird.
If you did, you were, like, worried about doing it.
Yeah, and I imagine that that's going to become more and more of a, occurrence,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah,
for sure.
I mean,
even though it's opened up for me in a way too, because like my health is better than it was, say, 5 years ago.
Right.
And back then, I felt like it was a lot more narrow about the shit that I can do, and like now I feel like it's kind of open.
Yeah,
but it's also like more realistic. You know what I'm saying? Like I always thought, like maybe I'll get into politics someday, and now I'm like, yeah, no, I'm never going to get into politics. And
I mean,
I'm
you're
never...
a young man in politics, though. You realize that?
Yeah,
50
you know,
in politics is like a fucking whippersnapper. All those dudes are 70. They're like Biden is like 74.
Yeah, but that's the guy running for president. You know what I'm saying? Like if you want to kind of get in it, you got to start when you're 30. Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess.
I should have stayed. If I would have stayed like volunteering and like being involved in the Democratic Party like I was when I was your age,
yeah.
And transferred that to Portland and been like, oh, I did all this volunteering in Wyoming and I want to volunteer here, and then actually have like a support network in a state where they're like, no, that would be like volunteering for the Republican Party here, you know, just like showing up, showing up to rallies to get stuff thrown at you, you know, that was
here's a pamphlet. Fuck you.
That was the Democrats in Wyoming. That's what you got there. You know, so if I would have come here, like I would have been a battle hardened warrior from the that other, you know, and like maybe would have worked out in a different way, and I could be, you know, running for horse shit city council like everybody else. You know, just trying
You would have made it. You would be a city councilman already, and right now you'd be getting thrown out.
Right.
Because you're taking up valuable spots.
I'd be making nobody happy.
Yeah.
No.
Or you could have gone trans. In which case you could have protected.
I don't know.
Gone trans?
Yeah, I could have gone trans.
Could have been a very powerful political move.
Jesus God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine like 6'6" trans like giving a speech for everybody?
You know,
people would remember that.
Yeah, it would be a powerful presence. That's all I can say.
A powerful voice.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know. I think there's a cool thing with 50, and like my parents, like they just went on a trip. They're in their 60s, right? Mm-hmm. Like getting into, you know, mid 60s territory, and they've just been going on trips all the time. They like the things you said about like just like you know, you let go of the. Things that, you know, these expectations that youth kind of brings with it, I guess, a little bit of like, oh, I'm going to travel the world, or not even travel the world, but like, I'm going to, you know, do all this shit that I'm supposed to do, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they're like, let's just do what we want, you know, exactly what we want, when we want. I mean, that's obviously a luxury, but,
sure.
All of my relatives that are getting into 60s and stuff, like, they just, I'm jealous of all of them. Like, they seem to be having a great time.
60s is that time where, like, if you have a little bit of money, like, my mom did that in her 60s. Like, she just traveled, did, like, all sorts of stuff. I mean, just some great adventures in the 60s. And now she's kind of done with that because it's a little bit harder to get around and all that shit. But,
sure.
That's great. If you have money and you're able to do that, like, yeah, start that as soon as possible and do that as much as possible.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. Because that's fantastic. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So.
So, yeah, maybe.
It's coming for everybody.
It is.
I know there's people out there. We might have a Gen Z person out there, you know, listening to this podcast. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know that, yes, technology is speeding up very quickly. There's going to be some advancements for sure. But you're still going to get old and die, all right? I don't think that we're really going to go full upload to the server until, like, Gen Z is, like, older, you know?
I don't know. There is going to be a point where... It really depends. You know, I mean, I think that even if we're not talking about upload to the server, I think that we're going to get to points in the medical issue that if you have the money and the wherewithal and the access to it, like, they're going to be able to extend life to 150, 200, 250 years old pretty soon. Once they start streamlining that, growing new organs out of your own stem cell material and then replacing those organs in your body as they fail, you know, and then there'll probably be some other difficulties going on in there, but like really, like if you can start, if you need to like replace one or two organs that start to fail, like that's going to extend another 20-30 years on there, and then, you know, as that gets better and better, you know, like there's going to be a generation that's just going to like live way longer than the previous generation. Right. I don't know if it's generation Z. I mean, hell, it could be my generation. I mean, shit could come along that would make that possible for my generation. It's hard to say, or yours, or, you know, like 10 from ours. It's hard to say.
Could even be the boomers too. I mean, maybe not.
In a way, it was the boomers. It was the World War II generation that had that boost, because 1901, the average life expectancy in America was, like, I was watching this thing about predictions for the future, and, like, you know, 35, 40, you know, somewhere in there was about, damn, like, how long people lived, the average Joe, you know. Rich people lived longer, but the average mm-hmm. Joe lived about 35, 40 years old. And then that next generation, like, or two generations after that, you know, the World War II folks, mm-hmm. like, they all lived into the 50s and the 60s, at least, well, most of them. Yeah. You know, so that's a good, almost doubling.
Yeah.
And if now crazy. People live to 70 and we kind of do that same sort of exponential growth, that pushes people up into like 105, 110.
Yeah.
On average.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you get on blood pressure medication at the right time. You get on, you know what I mean? All these little things that mm-hmm. probably took everyone out back then, even if you were healthy. Right. You know, you still had like a stroke or something.
Right.
When you were like, you know, 45. Or 50.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to have phones and stuff attached to them that are going to keep all of that, like, super monitored. And, like, you're not going to get to, like, that danger zone as quickly. They're going to detect that you're on the verge of having a heart attack, and then they're going to be able to do something about it.
Right.
You know. It's going to be, and like, it's going to be like cancer, where, like, when I was a kid, cancer was a death sentence. Like, well, you better get your shit in order because you got like 6 to 9 months if you got diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
Now you got cancer, you know, like, seriously, like,
you got a shot. You got, depending on when they catch it, yeah.
And what kind of cancer it is, but, like, right. so many people are like cancer survivors, or they're cancer sufferers that last for years and right. years and years and years with a relative, like, quality of life that before you couldn't expect.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, so it's I happening. Don't know.
Yeah, it's, you're it's right. happening. All right. Maybe I'm wrong, Gen Z. Maybe you guys are going to be cursed with eternal life, in which case that'll be great for like 200, 300 years.
Yeah.
And then it might
See, that's the problem with all of it is that mentally, like, we're not equipped for it.
For eternal life, or
for even long period of time. I really don't think so. Yeah. You know, I think that that's going to be the trouble, is that society needs to change if people are going to stay, like, happy and healthy for these longer periods of time.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, like, tune into Twitter every day for 115 years and be, like, a nice, a sane, normal person human. At the end of that.
No.
You know, so.
Very unlikely.
There's going to have to be new habits developed that go along with that for that to be a success.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
We'll see, man.
But if you think people are pissed about money, just wait until that clicks over, and then the really rich people start living to be like 300 and 400 years, and everybody else dies in their 70s. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Oh, well, I think, I mean, I think, you know me, I think this is already happening sure. at least a little bit.
Oh, it is.
I mean, you got
better access, you live longer.
Yeah.
That's just the
I think right now we probably got some, like, you know, secret billionaires who are
doing some treatments that are not, like, generally available to the public, but, yeah. like, they're like, why not? I can afford it, and, like, I'm going to see what happens.
Yeah, like, who's the fucking the anti-Semitic genius director, Mel Gibson?
Oh, okay. Genius director.
Apocalypto?
Okay. I mean, I just have not heard, like, genius attached to Mel Gibson a whole lot. So I just kind
of,
like,
I fucking think he's one of those guys. I do. I think he's one of those, like, not good person, good at what he does.
He's like the Australian. He's the Australian Kevin Costner with a lot of Jew hate.
I put him a level above Kevin Costner. What is Kevin Costner directed?
Dances with Wolves.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
That's a great movie.
No, I know. I didn't know that.
Yeah. That was his pet baby. But he did other things too. He did some really bad shit too, mm-hmm. you know. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But
anyway, I just remember I remember my point. He was on the Joe Rogan podcast maybe like a year or two ago with his dad, who he took down to Mexico to get these experimental stem cell treatments.
Oh.
And he was talking about it on the podcast. And because, like, Joe Rogan gets fucking injections. It's, like, mm-hmm. already here. It's mm-hmm. happening. This stem cell treatment stuff
right.
is, like, the that is like the life serum shit. Sure. You know, not to mention the hypothetical existence of black market adrenochrome. You see what I'm saying? Who knows if that's real, but we know if the stem cells.
What's adrenochrome again?
It's a, well, I don't want to get this wrong, but it's a, it's something, a chemical, a compound, that is made in the human body. Chemical compound produced by the oxidation of adrenaline. The derivative carbazochrome is a hemostatic medication. Despite a similarity in chemical names, it is unrelated to chrome or chromium, okay? It's synthesized. Okay, so basically it comes from human adrenaline. Adrenochrome is synthesized by the oxidation of epinephrine.
Okay.
So when it epinephrine combined with oxygen.
So it's a hyper boost to like all of your systems if you're doing like a gentle dose of adrenaline, essentially.
Right. Several small-scale studies conducted in the 50s and 60s reported that adrenochrome triggered psychotic reactions such as thought disorder and derealization. Claim that it's neurotoxic.
Sense. That makes sense, too.
Psychotomimetic may play a role in schizophrenia. Okay, so maybe it's not a... Yeah, and here it's just saying it's pretty much all bad. So maybe it's not approved by the FDA. So that's the whole thing about it. It's like, eh, it's a little shady thing. But but stem cells, those are real. And Mel Gibson was talking about taking his dad to this place in Mexico, and it cost like a bunch of money. And,
yeah.
You know, so that shit's already happening, you know.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's,
wow.
It's
no,
weird.
I mean, like, it was, you knew something was up when Magic Johnson got AIDS and everybody else that had got AIDS die. And then Magic Johnson got AIDS and he's still fucking going strong.
Yeah, man. You ever see that South Park?
No.
Oh, there's a South Park where they...
No, you gotta adjust soon. You gotta adjust soon to, like, you've obviously never seen this South Park.
You're right.
Or
I can't adjust because my entire other circle, I can drop like the...
Right, right.
It's
a Bible.
It's our little Bible. Yeah. And I can drop the references and everyone gets it. So I forget that there's people who haven't seen every episode. Okay. But...
I've probably seen like 10 episodes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Over my whole life.
Okay. So
10 to 15.
All right. I'll just. All yeah, the way same through. With Summer. She's just like, ah, they are annoying. I'm just like, okay.
I caught it late, and everyone already had their Cartman imitations.
That's
and
annoying.
So,
for
like,
sure.
It was Cartman. Hey, buddy, yeah. And my best friend had, like, this.
Yeah, that's annoying. People ruined it for you.
Yeah. Beavis and Butthead, too. I caught that late, and everyone had a Butthead. Fucking Beavis and Butthead. Yeah. And that kind of ruined it too. Even though that they're both so both shows are kind of genius.
Oh, South Park! I mean, I think you know
it's right up there with
beyond,
one of the greatest animated shows of all time.
Yeah, it's my personal
this short list
sure.
of all the greatest animated shows of all time. Yeah, it's a short list.
We might have to dive down that on an episode.
Yeah,
but there's this one episode where they talk about Magic Johnson, and he's still alive, and because I think like Kenny gets AIDS or something, and so they go to find Magic Johnson to like see what the cure is, because they're like, Magic Johnson's been alive, and he's like, I don't know, you know, I just sleep on this on my bed every night, and they go show a shot of his bed, and it's made of cash, and they're like, oh my god, we figured out the cure. It's 20 cc's of cold hard cash injected like monthly, and so they just start taking cash and blending it up and injecting it, and they cure AIDS.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
It's pretty great.
That's wonderful.
It's pretty great, so.
It's kind of true. It's kind of true.
It is kind of true. Man, so I just got back from dog sitting at my parents' house. Way out in West Lynn.
The wilds of West
wilds
Lynn.
Of West Lynn. No, it's not in West Lynn, but it's around there. And
Multnomah Village.
And
so you have to walk in the street in Multnomah Village. How does that work out?
Walk in the street?
Like when you're out walking the dog, there's no sidewalks anywhere. You just have to walk like out in the street.
Yeah.
And it's all like blind corners with huge trees and like just... It's obviously like set up to like kill a lot of people
kill
that are walking.
People, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know where your parents live. It might be a wonderful walking area.
No, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, there's a notorious blind corner that I'm frankly surprised I've lived next to my whole life. I'm surprised there haven't been more incidents there.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of potholes too.
Slows everything down.
And if you don't live there, then
there's no reason to be back
lost.
In there.
You know, yeah. And you're driving real slow because you're like, where the fuck am I? And then if you do live there, you're driving slow because you know that basically this is a sidewalk that your car is allowed to be on.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Right, right.
There's families in the middle of the road with their kids and dogs, you know. But yeah, it was great. Definitely was very present. I feel like I got a little more centered, a little more present-minded.
Well, you haven't had any time by yourself.
Yeah, I haven't.
For a long time, dude. Yeah.
It was so good, and I needed it
so bad. You were fighting it, too.
I know, dude. It's because...
I don't understand that.
I don't know either. It's like a... I mean, I don't want to get into the psychology of it. It's messed up. But, I mean, yeah, I wasn't getting a lot of me time.
In brief, the psychology of it is the same thing as, like, the guy that gets lost in the woods. After a certain amount of time, he becomes, like, paranoid and freaked out, and he'll hide from people that are looking for him.
Right.
You know, and it's the same thing. Once you kind of get a bad behavior and you keep doubling down on, like, the bad behavior, you kind of get afraid to do, like,
the good thing.
Because it's been so long.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It feels foreign. And and there's like a brief period where I'll be like kind of anxious, like, what do I do?
It's like going to see a friend that like you kind of ignored for a really long time, but there's no bad blood,
right.
But you just haven't like made a point to like hang out in a long time, and you're like, what is that going to be like if we hang out again?
Right.
Yeah.
But it's yourself. Yeah.
Right, or a habit.
Yeah. So yeah, it was great. And I was with my parents' dog, Hazel. She is a sweetheart. I played some video games. I did have some friends over, watched some Hitchcock movies, watched Vertigo. No, we didn't watch Vertigo. We watched Rear Window and Strangers on a Train.
Nice. Both are great.
Both fucking awesome. Yeah. And it was just like, God damn it. These movies are so good. And they're writing, you know, it's all just based on the writing, the script, and the acting performance. And obviously, like, the stage pieces. And, of course, Hitchcock is a brilliant cinematographer. But, you know, you just kind of forget movies back then. Like, you needed this sort of over-the-top acting. And each actor had, like, their own personal accent. Like, Jimmy Stewart, you know, he's got a weird way of speaking that is his own.
Sure. Oh, yeah, Jimmy Stewart's one of my favorite actors.
Yeah. And he's a savage, too. He'll be like, hey, Grace Kelly, why don't you shut the fuck up? I don't care that you're beautiful. You're annoying me. You know, you're just like, damn, that's a man right there.
Yeah.
He's just like, I'm trying to fucking watch. Look out the window, bitch. Can you stop? You're just like, holy shit. Because Grace Kelly's like the most beautiful woman like you've ever seen, kind of, like just naturally. And he's just like, God, leave me alone. Yeah. And she's like, we could maybe sleep in the same bed.
How about you fuck off? Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Leave my cripple ass alone for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah, he
it's funny.
Yeah, no, yeah, he's fantastic. He's one of the best. Harvey, have you ever seen movie Harvey?
No.
With him?
Mm-mm.
With the 8-foot tall imaginary rabbit?
No.
Dude, it's fucking like the first psychedelic movie ever made, and it's fucking amazing.
Cool.
Jimmy Stewart Harvey.
Harvey.
Yeah, it's black and white, but it's great.
Oh, I like the black and white, yeah.
Oh, shit, yeah, that's a great movie.
That's
great, yeah. Hitchcock.
Hitchcock.
First time on either of those, or you'd seen
the first
both?
Time on both of those.
Okay,
I've seen like The Birds and Psycho.
Right, right. Had you seen any of the remakes of Rear Window?
No,
because they've made a bunch of those.
Have
I
they
think, over the 90s?
Like, I'm
made
sure
a
they have. Yeah,
I feel like there was a Shia LaBeouf one. Maybe.
Boo. Boo.
It's such a great story, though. Why wouldn't they
it
do
is.
That? You know. And then Strangers on a Train.
God, really
so
cool.
So many great Hitchcock. Rebecca is such a fucking
North by
great.
Northwest. That's another one I've seen.
Great one. Vertigo's great.
I still haven't seen Vertigo. I need to watch that.
Yeah, wow. Wow, there's just a bunch of good ones. Yeah. So cool.
It was
That's
cool,
great.
Man.
And then you played a little vids.
Played Arkham Asylum. Mm-hmm. Got full-blown addicted to a video game.
Yeah.
Like, the second I picked it up, and it was one of the nights when Summer was there, and she was just kind of, like, chilling, playing her phone games. I was like, you know what? My friend left his PS4, the same right. friend who brought all of his Hitchcock movies and whatnot, left his PS4 there. I was like, huh, it's got some games on it. I'll give it a shot.
Who left it over now?
My friend Jason.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you've met Jason.
I don't think so
He's
either.
An interesting character that we can talk about more later, but I love him. I love him dearly. But I had to kind of keep him from, like, moving in.
While your parents were gone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's one, because he just doesn't, he's not, the home situation's not great.
Right, okay.
That kind of a thing. And so I had to keep, you know, he brought over, like, his movies, his PS4, and he's just ready to go. And I had to be like, you know, you got to go. Like, my girlfriend's coming over.
We're not going to have a slumber party for a week.
No.
Poor dude. But, like, I get it. But he was just bringing, like, all of his, like...
He was excited, and I was excited too, and it was great, and it was good fun. But one of the nights when he was not there, I was playing this game, and it was like, I started playing Arkham Asylum, and it was like,
and then you're
five
like,
hours
yeah,
later.
You can't come over at all.
Yeah.
I don't want you to come get this.
I don't want you. Yeah.
Come get this PS4.
Yeah, it turns out someone stole your PS4. I don't know. I don't even know where it went.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. No, but I just got fully sucked in, and I beat that game in like 3 days.
There you go.
And I feel now I feel like I've been flippant about video game addiction and or video game enjoyment sometimes in the past, where I'm just like, why do you even got there? Waste of time, like, blah blah blah.
Yeah, but it comes across as just you being weak and trying to pep talk yourself more than being judging on the other people.
Oh,
I've heard you do that
oh,
many
great.
Times.
You know oh, I'm great! Saying? I'm so yeah. glad that's how it comes
that's
across.
That's how that usually comes.
Okay. Well, that's great.
For anyone that plays video games and they hear someone say that, they're just like, oh, you don't have the, you. Like, my brother does the same thing.
Yeah.
Because if he gets into a video game, he's like, you,
have the self-control,
I
dude.
I beat it in 3 days.
I don't have the self-control. And you want to know, I might have told this story on the podcast before, but this whole me getting hooked on this game briefly reminded me of when I was a kid and we had one of those Mac desktops. You know,
okay.
It was probably like set, like, you know, like late 90s.
Did it have the neon glass side?
Yep.
You guys were cool.
Oh, we were cool.
Oh, shit.
And it came with a game on it called Nanosaur.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that.
No.
But it was a pretty cool game. You were a...
I had like a whatever.
Right.
I had the 2E that came with like whatever, Load Runner.
I don't even know what that is.
That's the one without the shiny glass sides.
And boo.
It was boop, boop, oh, beep, here, beep, oh, boop. I'm going to print up my document.
That's fun.
Let me get into the DOS program so I can print up my document.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun there. But we had one of those, one of the Macs, and there was a game, Nanosaur. You played a Velociraptor with a jetpack on.
I know now what you're talking about. I've never played it, but I visually can now see that game. Okay,
and you
cool.
hop around, and you're looking for these eggs that you collect.
Okay.
And meanwhile, there are these other dinosaurs that you've got to avoid and fight, and it's got this semi-realistic, like, for the late 90s, early 2000s vibe. Cool game. Me and my sister were playing it a bunch to the point where my parents were like, stop with it. And I remember showing my dad how to play. Like one of these days, right? And he was like, I could see him actually, like, I remember him like getting into it, being like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. And then I remember coming downstairs one night and seeing him at like 3 a.m, just like in the dark above it. And they had, my parents both got hooked on this game.
Wow.
And they were like well in their 40s at this point, you know, and they both got hooked on this Nanosaur game, and they had to take it off the computer. Because it was like impacting their work lives, and I'm sure like bringing us to school and all sorts of other things.
Wow,
you know,
wow.
Both my parents.
Oh, it's like the Marge tries gambling episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And So it made me think about that, like, fuck. And you're right. I do have no self-control. Like,
well, it appeals to an addictive personality. Yeah. It appeals to this certain type of personality that... And I do it just like I do drugs and booze and everything else. It's like I can do it like a fucking gangster for about 4 or 5 hours, and then I'm like, whoa, you know, and I just am out, you know. So like Arkham Asylum took me weeks and weeks to finish because like I would go to like finish one part and then I would be like, oh, I got that done today.
Yeah.
You know, like that's my thing. I've done it today. Next time I know what I'm doing next.
Yeah.
And then you stop.
Yeah.
You know, and I am not good at
healthy.
I'm not at video good at video games either. So like there was like probably a lot higher rate of success for you. So like I don't know what to do instinctively as well, and so I die in these combat situations like a lot.
Okay.
So like I get more achievement out of the smaller things probably, you know. So you get more of like that story element in it.
Right.
Kind of,
I want to watch the movie. I feel like I'm just watching the movie and participating in it.
Yeah. And it's not quite that smooth for me. That's sometimes why I play stuff twice, is because once I know how to do it, then I can enjoy it on that level sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think that most people that play video games and hear that from other people, just like either you don't know what you're talking about, or
right.
you've never encountered the video game that's going to get you, or you're weak and you know that it's bad and you're pep talking yourself so you'll stay away from them yourself.
Right. And that's full disclosure, obviously. That is... what I'm doing.
And that's
know?
What you should do, probably.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
is.
Saying? Like, it's
I
not
can't have
like an
them.
Overall success. It's not a success thing for
I
you.
I can't
you
have
know?
Them, man. It's really not a success thing. You know, and it's funny just because, I don't know. Like, I love them so much, or at least certain ones so much that, I just completely see how people go off the deep end. And I just need to not... do that, you know.
They are the apex of entertainment right now.
They are, and they're gonna get crazy.
There's nothing in culture that achieves the level of cultural buzz that, say, like a new Grand Theft Auto game does. You know, that's like the new Elvis, that's like the old Elvis Presley, like releasing a new album or something. You know, it's at that level of money that it makes and all of that stuff. Their movies wish they could do that right now. You
right.
know, music wishes it could do that right now. They
right.
wishes there was a tour that was half as successful as like the new what's the name of the game that everybody plays? Fucking it's a multiplayer shooter. War. It's a war, like
Call of Duty. Oh, Call of Duty.
Like
yeah.
if Call of Duty comes out, like that thing's gonna make $1 billion in 48 hours.
Yeah, it's nuts. Not to mention all the add-ons and bullshit.
Right,
that you
and
can
then
sell.
Like the new Star Wars takes like its whole time to make $1 billion.
Yeah,
that's crazy the amount of time.
No, I'm excited for the future of it. I mean, excited and scared because obviously
I think there's opportunity for people like you within that field.
Oh, definitely.
You know,
definitely. But I think it's going to be like, you know, it's going to get into that kind of freaky. Alternate reality AI territory where like these it's going to be like imagine combining like the Netflix binge watch series with like the movie with like an action film with like an interactive video game, you know, to where it's like you might just be gone for a week.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
And like literally and probably, you know, come out of it just like completely depressed because it's over.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
and
right.
I don't know.
No, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But, like, it's kind of cool that I'm heading into old age when all that's going on because I'm going to have time to do all that shit, maybe.
Hell yeah.
So that might be cool.
Yeah.
A good escapism from all that sort
have
of thing.
Have you ever used one of the, what are they called? The virtual helmet things?
No, I haven't.
I've tried it one time at Summer's friend's house, and... they are pretty legit. Like, you can tell they haven't fixed them all the way, but there's not the Nautilus. What is it called? It's just on the tip of my tongue. Fuck.
Oculus?
Oculus. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you. Oculus Rift. And they have simulations and games, and there's this one simulation where you're standing on top of a building while it's crumbling. and you can look around, you can look down, and they're like, most people, they're like, if it's your first time, sit down.
Huh.
Because you're literally like, oh, shit. You know? You're looking down, shit's falling, and then finally the piece you're standing on falls,
uh-huh.
and you start plummeting down, and you feel the gut, you know, you feel that
wow.
thing,
uh-huh.
and a lot of people like fall, basically.
And it's especially designed to make you feel that immersive thing.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
No, I always feel like I'm going to for sure throw up. I can't play the third person shooters very often because like it makes me seasick. Like that being like
when you're if I'm
in a first person, like if it's just like the tip of the gun mm-hmm. and you're like looking around and it's from like there's no like little dude in front of you. Like in Batman there's yeah. a little dude.
Yeah.
And it's third person, but it's that third person removed.
Yeah.
But if you're in that first person shooter or whatever where it's just the eyes looking around and then you have the gun like Doom or something
mm-hmm.
like that shit gives me a headache, sick stomach. Like
first person does.
First person.
Gotcha.
Right.
Interesting.
And I'm always afraid that Oculus shit is going to do the same thing, just make me seasick.
Probably.
And that sounds like when you describe that, like, oh, I would probably just throw up.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, there's ones that are, you know, like throw the ball at the duck or whatever.
Yeah, and I've seen some people like on YouTube, like they can somehow put that on there, and there's games and stuff that they do that look, you know, it looks really quite cool.
It is cool.
You know, I would if I just money was no object and I could just try it for a few. It's one of those things that like, oh, if I try it and I super love it, then I'm gonna have to like somehow get it.
Right.
And then it's just gonna be like more, I'm kind of like you, because like if I were to get that, then I love that, and then like, oh my god, that's a box of worms,
that's a dark
that I
rabbit
don't
hole.
Necessarily need to open.
Sure.
You know, that's not like a hobby I'm seeking out.
No. It's probably for the best.
Yeah. Well, I got one other thing today here.
Please.
I know you've been kind of steering clear of the. I don't think there's anything that you're looking for in there. I'm all out of lighters.
All out of lighters. He's all out of lighters.
I know that you're steering clear of all the politics thing.
I've been trying.
Yeah, and this I think is an obvious hoax. It probably is an obvious hoax, but I just wanted to see what you thought of this. Biden, as you know, accepted like the Democratic nomination for president. You know, and he gave mm-hmm. his acceptance speech, and it was like, in my opinion, like way better than what I was expecting it to be. Like, I mean, it was a pretty decent speech.
Nice.
You know, like it appealed to the old Democrat in me and on several ways, you know, as much as like out of touch as like the reality of the situation it really was, like it had some problems or whatever. But like the next day I saw this really controversial tweet by this cop guy. I don't remember what the name is or whatever it is, but he's like, it's obvious that the Biden speech was pre-recorded because he's not wearing a watch while he's giving the speech, and in the footage directly after the speech when he's walking around the stage with Kamala and his wife and whatever, the whole crew, and waving at the screens, he's got like this gold watch on. And he also says this thing about the pin, but I don't agree with what he's saying about the pin. I think the pin's there the whole time. But, like, I had to go back and kind of look at it, you know? But, like, man, I do not see a watch on his hand during the speech. And I do not see when he would have put the watch back on, because a lot of people are like, well, you put a watch on or whatever. And so I don't know. You know, like, there were reporters in the room that were tweeting that they were, like, watching the speech, you know, and that sort of thing. So it's obviously, like, he gave the speech. I think that that's probably pretty obvious. But again, like, I have a hard time. I see what the guy's saying, you know, that, like, there are some shots up the sleeve while he's talking, when he's pointing at the camera, that you feel like you would see that big watch there. And I guess the important thing about that is, like, if it is a pre-recorded speech that says something about, like, the performance of Joe Biden, maybe, that is a key issue for me, as far as like, I think a key issue for everybody, as far as like him as a candidate, you know. But that's a hard deal to fake, you know, I guess. So I don't know. Do you have like the speech up on YouTube?
I don't have the speech up, but I have, when I Googled Joe Biden's speech pre-recorded, of course, the first thing that pops up are all of the fact checkers. Fact-checking,
right.
fact-check, the first like four or five are just debunking the thing, which is interesting because I don't know. It is what it is. Maybe they're trying to get ahead of this conspiracy theory, but it's just kind of funny that they just shove all of that to the front. So you can't even like find the fact-checked on the thing before you find the thing that they're fact-checking. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's exactly how it's set up.
Yeah.
You know, it's made to...
I mean, who knows how it's...
Google's not neutral.
No. But I found the original tweet in this... The Dispatch is a new fact-checking organization.
Okay.
And they say that right-wing media personalities, including Rush Limbaugh and social media posts, have claimed that Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden's nomination acceptance speech was pre-recorded. Limbaugh specifically alleged that his speech had to be taped in segments.
Okay, so Limbaugh's on board
this
now.
This is,
okay.
I mean,
okay.
And when I saw the tweet and their debunking of the whole thing, they don't really address the problems that people bring up. So let's dive into this a little bit more.
Okay.
Limbaugh specifically alleged that his speech had to be taped in segments and the segments had to be edited together. The Biden acceptance speech was one continuous shot. And as reported by ABC's John Verhovic, Biden delivered his speech in front of roughly three dozen reporters, a skeleton camera crew, and a handful of Secret Service agents, and a smattering of campaign staff. Verhovic was one of the reporters in attendance and live-tweeted lines from it, as well as images and video he captured on his cell phone. After his speech, Biden interacted with supporters who were video conferenced in. BuzzFeed's Ruby Kramer attended the speech as well and reported about 30 members of the press and a skeleton production crew in attendance. She also tweeted images from the event, as did the Washington Post Annie Linsky and the New York Times Katie Gluck, Wall Street Journal's Ken Thomas, Daily Beast Hannah Trudeau, CBS. So I don't see it. They're all very mainstream media. Not saying that means they're wrong, but let's just take note of that. One tweet from John Cardillo claims that a missing pin and watch between shots proves the speech was pre-filmed in segments and cut together. And so this is the tweet. I don't know if this is the one you're talking about. It says, guys, I despise conspiracy theories. You all know that. But if Biden's speech wasn't pre-recorded, the cop in me wants to know how his lapel pin disappeared off the same suit and a watch appeared on his left arm as Harris joined him right after his acceptance speech. And he shows these shots, and you can clearly see. In one of these, he's showing a lapel pin. I don't see it disappearing. Oh, no, it is gone, actually.
I think that's just fold of the fabric, though.
Could be fold.
After watching it myself, I think that the lapel pin is there the whole time.
That could be a fold, and then he's got his wrist circled, and there's no watch on it, and then there's a watch later, but it's like he's got his hand up further on the other shot. Maybe his sleeve went down.
But if you go to the actual speech like I did and you watch Joe Biden's speech, you know, and you're watching his hands as when he lifts his arms up, you don't see a watch at any point during the speech, you know, like at all. And that watch is like a heavy watch that you would think like you would at least see inside the cuff of his arm a couple times. At least I didn't see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I went and looked pretty carefully for it. That doesn't mean anything. That means that it could just have not shown up in it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I do think that Joe Biden gave a speech in front of 30 people and a bunch of Secret Service. I mean, that's a lot of people to all bring in on like a big conspiracy or whatever, or a trick or whatever it is. But, I mean, my thought is, like, you know, he's giving the speech there, and at the same time, like, they have, like, they're ready to go with, like, another version. It's just recorded before
Yeah.
the actual
they just
species.
Stream it live, yeah.
Right. mix it in together.
I mean,
you know, live in.
It wouldn't. But I mean, that's not a crazy technological feat or anything.
It wouldn't be bad to have that as backup.
I mean, if I was running the DNC, I would make damn sure I have a recording of this fucker who's been known for goofs and gaffes. Mm. No matter what you think his mental condition is, that's kind of his, you know, he's known for that.
Right.
If he's, maybe he's just sleepy. Maybe he's has dementia. But yeah, I would want to make goddamn sure that I have a workable version of this speech, because this guy just hasn't proven himself to be the most,
And that tweet just got so ratioed where everybody was like, it's just so weird that like certain things that people come up with like get this immediate shutdown reaction.
Right.
Where if I came up with one of my crazy conspiracy theories and put it on the web, like everyone would just be like, that's crazy. You're crazy.
Yeah, no one would respond. Just like, eh, more.
You know, like ignoring this would have been the best strategy in the world. But it's getting a lot of attention from a lot of like notable
news
people.
Yeah.
And
almost like they want you to be aware of the controversy, at
least,
or just be like, here's another thing to take sides on.
But I guess that guy's a notable Twitter personality or a personality that's on Fox News and stuff. Is he like the
cop guy?
He's that weird sheriff they're always bringing on like radio and stuff, right?
I'm sure he's a gem.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a TV guy. Was in the NYPD once upon a time.
Huh. Maybe he's not.
And he tweeted on August. I don't know. He tweeted again, I think, later, replying to someone else. Wrong. The pin is above the pocket square. I don't know. So he's clearly getting into all these debates about it. Yeah.
So I just thought that was really interesting, and I was really going into it like expecting to like, oh, you know, there's the watch, or there's like the fold in his arm where I would see like there's the bulge on his cuff where the watch would be, or something. Like, it's going to be obvious that this is just a bunch of horse shit,
right?
Because this kind of like false narrative stuff is happening like crazy on both sides right there, and I just want to like keep aware of it, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of shocked when like I left it still kind of perplexed.
Mm. Like you didn't fully feel like that fact check we just read, they brought up the same shadows of doubt that we did before reading it, where it's like, well, it could have slipped below his sleeve, the pin could be covered by some
I absolutely debunk the pin thing that he claims there. I agree.
You saw the pin.
I feel like the pin was there the whole time. When he's raising up his arm, his jacket folds, and you're not seeing that pin. But that pin is like, I don't think that the shots with his wife and all that stuff afterwards, that's all live. Because, I mean, that's too much. There's four people all like moving around.
I mean, what if he went and put on a watch?
But that's the thing, is you watch him at the end of the speech, the camera pulls back of him at the podium, and he's just sitting there, and it looks like old Sleepy Joe, in the sense that, like, what do I do now? You know, he kind of has that confused old person sort of thing for a minute. You're like, oh,
where am I?
There's the guy that I was looking for. And his wife comes out and gives him a big hug and a kiss, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're walking around, and Kamala Harris and her husband show up, and they're all like waving at the screens, and Joe's like trying to wave at the TV screens because he thinks that like the person looking at him through the screen can see him, so he's like pointing at certain people and trying to like.
He's just on robot mode. He's just doing what he does in a live audience.
They were. It's so weird. They were all like acting like there was stuff happening, and they were all like looking around and doing all that stuff.
Weird.
It was fucking weird.
Weird.
And I'm sure that the Republicans are doing the same fucking thing. You know, I don't know. I've not watched.
I actually
want to
check
that,
out some of that.
You know,
we should maybe later.
Yeah,
just to be fair.
Right. Let's watch a highlight reel at the end of
it.
I think that's the healthiest. And then we can turn it off at any time.
Because
the horse shit's going to get so fucking crazy. It's going to get so crazy. Yeah,
that's why I've checked out in advance.
Yeah, they're already there. You ever heard about the asteroid that's supposed to come close to Earth on the day of election?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's excited about that
Boo.
Too. So. Yeah.
Boo. All this stuff close, now that I when
not
now when I
close enough.
When I yeah, when I don't hear about these stories for like a week or however long, I hear them again and I'm like
yeah.
Like it just sounds like a guy on the street is trying to get a reaction out of me. Like that sounds like something people are like, do you hear that maybe the where Earth is flying through an asteroid field right now and possibly I'm just like what?
It's what like having like about? A paranoid schizophrenic as your immediate supervisor at your job.
Yeah.
You know that they're fucking crazy and they're lying and they may believe what they're telling you, but you know that it's not true all the time. Even though there is they are somehow like negotiating the world in a better way than you are.
Right.
You know, they have like the fancy cars and they're on TV and they're like something about this is working for them, but they're obviously deluded.
Right.
And they're telling me my business and I kind of have no other person to listen to, you know, but they're obviously crazy.
Obviously.
So like.
But they pay you.
Right. You're kind of in it. You have to like get your information from somewhere.
Right. And what if you and like two other of your coworkers. You're all like, yeah, we know they're crazy. But then the other 40 of your coworkers, let's say if it's a big place, are just follow, just like lockstep. Or even if they think that this person's a little weird or maybe untrustworthy, they're like, yeah, but they're, you know, they're the authority. They're the trusted authority ultimately. And then it makes it a weird situation.
There'll be those that just like, well, if I don't think about what I'm being told, then there'll be less interference. So I'm not going to think about what I'm being told. There are those, and then there are those that are like, well, they say all of those things and do those things, and therefore they are successful. I'm going to start saying and doing those things, and see what happens for me. And those are the ones that move into that next. No, the ones that catch that early are the ones like, hey, you want to come work for the local TV station? Hey, you want to come do this sort of thing?
Right.
Hey, you know, you want to come have a radio show or whatever it is, you know, because they've got the game early and they know that like, oh, it's this.
Right.
You know, and lunkheads like me are like, oh, no, viva la resistance.
Right.
You know, that
resistance.
Shit.
Yes. Yeah.
And then they wise up too late or maybe they... You know, whatever. I don't know. But I think that there's a harsh understanding for the folks that say what they're supposed to say and move into that world. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's... I don't know. It's a weird thing. And I think in smaller towns, you see it more clearly, you know, in the sense that there is, like, this divide in the populace of, like, the people in power and the people not in power.
Sure.
You know, and like in a town of a smaller amount, there are like two or three or four families that are in power and everybody else is fucked.
Right.
They're just
shit out of luck.
Little people. And then some people will get like a business going and then they kind of move maybe up into that thing. But like, yeah, like in the town that I went to school in, you know, like there was one family that owned like 80% of the fucking rentals in that town.
Damn.
And they fucking cleaned up every year.
Wow.
You know, and then there was the just whatever, you know, there's like the three families of Laramie, Wyoming that kind of ran the show.
Wow.
And then the dean of students would be like one of those power players in the thing and whatever, you know, there'd be a couple other people that would be like power players in the community. But like the ones that actually like could run you out of town on a rail, like, yeah. And Casper has them too, you know, for sure.
Well, yeah. And then extrapolate that out to the entire United States.
Right. And then a couple of those families, you know, like sometimes like the Bushes have like, they really hit it big, you know, they start like making a bunch of money in Saudi Arabia and all over the place. And the next thing you know, that moves them into that next level.
I mean, they hit it big a while ago.
Oh yeah, sure. It was like Bush granddaddy, but that's like talking about families.
Yeah. It was whatever, like whatever his name is, like Adolf Heidenberger. So, like, if
you discover some like rare earth elements in your parents' backyard or something like that, in like your grandchildren, Svenny could maybe run for president.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll start digging.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start digging. Yeah,
they'll understand. You should have started while they were gone.
Yeah,
you just come back and you just have like a big chunk.
Let me finish. Let me finish before you say anything. I'm fairly certain that there is an undiscovered mineral somewhere near the house. I would have been fucking gone, man. I would have just been
to get through the
straight
topsoil.
Jacket, fucking eating my own shit in an insane asylum. They would have shipped me off faster than you can say fucking. Schizo. Yeah,
that would have streamlined things.
Straight to the funny house.
Well, it's good to be back. We took a little break, and that was our longest break of recording that we've had like for a while.
Yeah,
I think your trip to Britain.
Wow. Maybe. Really? Yeah.
I think that's maybe the longest break.
You're right.
A whole week,
especially since
like a whole week. I think
during COVID we kind of ramped up too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we were on the weekly thing, and then we were, like, three times a week sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Recording one or two every time. Yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
So absolutely. You guys don't need to worry, because on your end, on out there, you've been getting all your episodes.
Yes. And then we've just got this really nice cushion of, like, old gold episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And just a lot
your
of,
your boys
like,
are prepared.
Yeah.
We're stocked. And so that's why you love us.
Couple months left of Idiots, even if we stop doing it tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Maybe 1 month.
A month. Yeah, but you guys don't need to know about all that. That's for it's for the elders.
Oh, we love talking shit.
We do. We love talking
shit and shop.
Love talking shit and shop. And speaking of that, you guys can check out our bonus content on Patreon.
Yeah.
We've got some episodes on there. We've got some very special episodes on there.
I'm going to release an episode about how troubled my youth was on Patreon.
Boom.
Because we had that one that like, I'm not really comfortable putting it on the main thing, but I'm going to put it out on the Patreon.
So just so you guys know.
You can see how damaged it all was.
Exactly. You want to take a deep dive. You know, if you guys want to take a deep dive, the Patreon is the place to go.
Yeah.
Because that's where we're going to be putting more of our edgy
feelings.
Content,
the feelings,
the realness,
and the history,
you know?
Of heavy metal,
and also that,
yeah,
yeah. So it's
which
a
is
kind of
like our feelings as well.
It is.
It's all feelings.
It's tied in pretty close.
So yeah, if you really want to get like disgustingly familiar with your hosts here on Idiots Disgusting Universe, for only $1, you can tune in to the Patreon channel and thusly be amused.
Yes, $1 a month.
Mm-hmm. If not, you know, fuck yourself off and go over to like Instagram and follow that shit, or write us a review or some other, you know, second level stuff
like
that.
And then go to your nearest bridge and jump off of it.
No, I don't mean that. We don't mean that. No, we love everybody. Even the freeloader listeners. We love those freeloaders the most.
No, we do. We do.
And the new ones, those are our favorite.
Hey.
And the ones that tell their friends. That's
you get a gold star.
A special spot.
That's a gold star listener.
We don't mean any of that nasty stuff before.
No.
It just sometimes it just like
it comes up.
It
you got to get it out.
You get a little
nasty, so it doesn't stay inside.
Mm-hmm.
Go fucking kill your mother. Sorry, I'm sorry. It'd be funny if you had that kind of Tourette's where you're just like, I want you to fucking jump off a bridge, you cunt. Oh, geez, you're in like a job interview. You're in a job.
I'm sorry. I mean, like,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, I don't think it would be actually like funny for you.
No, like, it'd be horrifying. It'd be a crippling disease. Yeah,
but it'd be like a funny documentary if it was approached in the appropriately like goofy way. It'd be a fun character in like a documentary.
What if it's like truth Tourette's? Like you just say the. Immediately, like the truest, basic, most, you know, form of, like, you're making me angry, and you know what I mean? Like, just, whatever. And it's about this guy who has this debilitating condition, but then people start revering him because he just is the only man capable of telling the 100% truth because it's an affliction.
Mm-hmm.
We should write scripts. So many good ideas. That's why I'm glad we record. So many good ideas.
So many good ideas. We just need to execute on some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be kind of it's kind of like Liar Liar.
It is. I was thinking about the Jim Carrey thing.
But it has kind of like that weird religious thing to it, so that kind of changes
it. It's like Liar Liar meets Bruce Almighty.
Liar Liar, but not funny. And not funny. You know.
Should it be a drama?
Probably.
Cool.
If you're going to say, like, fuck your mother cunt a lot, or like that sort of thing,
that's pretty funny.
You're going to get a bad.
That's pretty funny, though. It's a dark humor.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Speaking of fuck your mother, I got to tell you about the ending of that video game.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Video games are bad, people. Stay away. That's our message. That's our thing. But they're good.
Especially the ones Craig finds, because Craig somehow manages to find the most fucked up video games, especially the ones that appear like, you're just playing a happy little village, just a little village, and we're going to go gather some wood, and you're going to go to the bank, and then you're going to go rape the guy in the alley. The video game's like the equivalent of what we're talking about. It's just all of a sudden, then a preacher shows up at night and forces you to fucking make a choice, and then he blows your head off with a shotgun. Yeah.
It's
a whole thing.
It's why we're going to do a Twitch channel thing coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Inflicting my choice of video games on Spenny is kind of going to be the fun part of that.
Oh, is that going to be the fun part?
That's kind of the dynamic.
That's where the fun...
That's
now
the dynamic.
I understand why he
I'm just springing the dynamic on Spenny right now.
You know what? You know what, Craig?
But he's on board.
Two might be able to play said game. And now, you know, I'm getting more versed in the video game world. And so I might have some suggestions for you, like some fun anime story time games.
Okay. Cool.
That I think that you'll really like.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
No, I found one, Blind Date, that I think you're going to really enjoy.
That actually does sound fun.
Yeah. It's going
to
be.
Now the way you're looking at me, it's not. It's
interesting to see how you do on it. It's going to be good. No, it'll be good. We're going to get that all figured out, and then internet stardom is even going to get brighter.
Just brighter.
Brighter and brighter.
Brighter and brighter, no downsides.
Until it collapses in on itself because all of its lighter elements are consumed in the heavy...
The dying sun thing.
And then we'll explode and consume all of those closest to us. But until then. Shine on, you crazy diamond. That sort of shit.
Right. Amen.
Idiots Discuss the Universe is recorded in IDTU Studios, located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.